This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The committee tasked with drafting the Democratic Party's platform had its final meeting over the weekend, and what has emerged is a dramatic display of the ideological clashes between the party establishment and the progressive wing newly seated at the table as a result of Bernie Sanders' popularity. Sanders was allowed to name five people to the committee, and he chose Cornel West, Deborah Parker, Bill McKibben, Keith Ellison, and James Zogby. Hillary Clinton picked six committee members, and DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz picked four. Still, the committee, stacked as it was with centrist Democrats, rejected a number of progressive positions on issues, including opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, an endorsement of $15 an hour minimum wage, a ban on fracking, a single-payer healthcare system, and denunciation of Israeli oppression of Palestine. My guest is Kevin Gostola. He is managing editor of Shadowproof Press. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure, and he spent time watching the broadcast, the online broadcast of the committee meetings. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Hey, thank you.
So let's start with TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which you have written about. This is a global trade agreement that President Obama has thrown his weight behind. It is globally reviled. Countries around the world that would impact the TPP, grassroots activism has expressed clear opposition to it, including here in the United States. In fact, it's widely opposed by most unions as well. You would have thought that the Democratic Party would have considered taking a strong position against TPP, but you say instead that party unity won out. What does that mean?
Yeah, so Democrats who were sitting on the committee, like Paul Booth from AFSCME and others, Neera Tanden of the Center for American Progress, decided that it was more important to show this unity and not oppose President Barack Obama. And it was very, very awkward. They admitted that there should be opposition of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Most of everybody who spoke but said they were going to vote against this resolution to oppose the TPP claimed that they were against trade agreements. Luis Gutierrez claimed that he'd never voted for a trade deal in his political career, and that he wasn't going to support the TPP ever. But he wanted to show that he stood with the president in the party platform. And so it got voted down ultimately because they didn't want to put a strong foot out there and say, we oppose the TPP in spite of President Barack Obama.
What does this idea of party unity mean? I mean, the committee could have very easily unified the party around a progressive position, but they instead chose to unify around a conservative position because they were afraid of undermining the president, a president whose term is ending.
And publicly, we heard from Hillary Clinton that she opposes the TPP. That is the claim of her own campaign. Bernie Sanders, we know, of course, clearly opposes the TPP. There was a chance to bring people together around this one particular issue. However, the Clinton appointees and some of the people appointed by Debbie Wasserman Schultz opposed putting this specific language into the platform. And I think the only reason why you could meaningfully justify not putting something specific about the TPP in the platform is if Hillary Clinton was going to switch and return to supporting the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement as she did when she was Secretary of State.
Right. So as soon as she is elected, then, of course, it's business as usual. Now, you mentioned Paul Booth of AFSCME. This is a union guy, I believe a Clinton appointee to the party. Not only did he oppose taking a position against TPP, which a union guy would be expected to do, I understand he also opposed adopting $15 an hour minimum wage.
Yes, this was incredible. And there is a little confusion. I just want to acknowledge that the Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party is claiming that their platform has language in support of a $15 minimum wage. That may be true, but they voted down a resolution that was going to add some teeth to it and also support the idea of indexing the minimum wage so that it kept up with inflation, which would be good to ensure that people have living wages when they are working their jobs.
So the other aspect of the party platform that one would have thought would be somewhat of a no-brainer is the environment. Bill McKibben, a very important, perhaps the best known figure in the United States fighting climate change, was appointed to the committee by Bernie Sanders. And positions after another and contributions to the platform were voted down, including, I understand, taking a position against fracking. What exactly did the DNC basically end up doing that they really shouldn't have done on the issue of the environment and climate?
Well, so it's important to note that Carol Browner, one of the people appointed by Clinton, is a lobbyist who has been supportive of things like nuclear energy. She has ties to industry. She believes that fracking can be regulated. And even though Bill McKibben, this person who Cornel West referred to as a prophet sitting on the committee warning about the threat of climate change, despite the fact that he put forward some very incredible science for everyone to grapple with, they still maintain that these fracking wells can be regulated. And they also maintained, at least Paul Booth did, that jobs would be impacted. And in fact, Bill Kibben gave a rebuttal saying that renewable energy jobs are a bigger sector in industry, that in fact they would outnumber coal jobs or they would outnumber natural gas jobs. And I believe that this was also something where Paul Booth invoked swing states and said that if Democrats want to win the White House in November, they would need to vote against this ban on fracking. And if I have a quick second here to just add that he brought up another resolution about keeping fossil fuel reserves in the ground. 80% of fossil fuel reserves that are known, he wanted those to be kept in the ground. This is a product of a movement that's been fighting to keep natural resources in the ground. And Bill made this very incredible point, which is that, you know, the physics do not care about battleground states. You cannot argue with the fact that we're killing off the planet, but in fact, Democrats wanted to make political calculations a priority over saving the planet.
The other aspect of what should have been a no-brainer for a party that claims to espouse progressive or liberal values was single-payer health care. Now, Bernie Sanders has been a strong proponent of single-payer health care. And, was this also rejected in favor of so-called party unity because President Obama's signature Affordable Health Care, Affordable Care Act would have been undermined by a position in favor of single payer?
Yes, and I want to just quickly bring in something that I wrote about the previous platform committee hearing, because it has to do with why we saw this outcome. National Nurses United president, or sorry, her name, National Nurses United executive director, Roseanne DeMauro, she testified before this committee and made the case for single payer healthcare. This union, which is very fiercely supported Bernie Sanders, you know, she gave this case, and they basically said, well, you need to acknowledge that the Affordable Care Act has done some good. What about the people who have been able to get insurance from the Affordable Care Act? What are you going to do to make sure single-payer health care does not cost Affordable Care Act people their insurance? This fear-mongering, the sort of thing that the Clinton campaign has whipped up since back in January in order to make it difficult for people to support single-payer. And they really are, you know, taking a page out of the conservative playbook in terms of trying to get people to not support having universal health care for all. And so Roseanne DeMauro said, I felt like I was being boxed in. I felt like they were trying to intimidate me because I was taking a stand. But there is this really broad movement for single-payer health care, and the Democrats are still going to have to grapple with it after this platform.
There's even support among Republicans for single-payer health care. There have been polls showing that because, you know, whenever you have these sort of news coverage of opposition to the Affordable Care Act, rarely do you get asked the question of what people would really like to see it replaced with. And not that many people, you know, there's no majority saying that the current health care system with private health insurance companies reigning supreme is the superior one. Of course, conservatives, ultra-conservatives do like to push that. Pro-corporate folks like to push that. But most ordinary Americans realize, hey, Medicare works really great for people over the age of 65. Why can't we also have it? The Democratic Party seems to be pushing again and again and again to the center. I want to ask you, Kevin, what was the point of giving Bernie Sanders five committee members only to have most of their positions shot down by the entire committee? Was this just a way to try to appease Sanders?
So I think that your question depends on who you're speaking to. So for the purposes of your audience who are progressives, I would say that I think it's an important struggle to have fought out in the open against Democrats so we can see where exactly the Democratic Party stands. Obviously, from the standpoint of the Democratic National Committee or the Clinton campaign, it is a way of appeasing Bernie Sanders. But I do not believe that these issues are things to be appeased upon. I mean, everyone is going to continue to fight for these issues. We know that that we're on the right side of social progress when we talk about banning fracking, single-payer health care, keeping fossil fuels in the ground, when we talk about matters of foreign policy, which we really haven't gotten into yet. And those are all critical things that people are going to still keep fighting for, regardless of whether Hillary Clinton incorporates them into her policies.
Let's talk about foreign policy issues. The issue of Israel came up in earlier meetings. This is a really interesting issue because, of course, for many, many years now, the Democrats have essentially refused to address Israeli actions in the Palestinian territories for fear of offending AIPAC. Hillary Clinton's candidacy has been very much on the side of Israel, even, you know, much more to the right of President Obama, embracing Benjamin Netanyahu and Henry Kissinger. But Sanders, a Jewish American presidential candidate, has made it an issue. He has actually spoken out on the issue of Palestine, and his appointee Cornel West is a very outspoken defender of Palestinian rights. What played out at the DNC on this issue, and was even a small bit of progress made?
So because it was defeated, I'll just focus on the arguments that Democrats put forward in order to make sure that Jim Zogby did not get his resolution, which would have acknowledged the occupation of Israel. It would have
Jim Zogby was the other committee appointee by Sanders.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this was his resolution. He put forward the idea of acknowledging the occupation and calling for an end to it. And also humanizing Palestinians by recognizing that they have been going through a significant amount of suffering. And Wendy Sherman, who's a former ambassador from the State Department, she made this case for not doing anything, for basically accepting what was in the platform. And one of the things she said was, I think this is really an interesting fault line, is that Sanders actually wanted to take out language that said that anything that the UN does or the BDS movement does delegitimizes Israel. And this has been a big thing because Hillary Clinton has embraced cracking down on the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement against the occupation of Palestine. And so Wendy said, well, you know, anytime that any of these people do whatever they're doing, it may not be intentional, but they are delegitimizing Israel, and I think we should say something about it. And they may not intentionally be anti-Semitic, but I think that they could be unwittingly anti-Semitic. So this is something that that they have division over, and it's very critical. I mean, of course, anytime that the BDS movement is taking action, the intent is to delegitimize Israel because what they're doing to Palestinians is illegitimate. So she's correct, and they don't want the movement to continue to pick up steam. And then you had somebody like Howard Berman, who is a very pro-Israel former U.S. representative, who is just making all these suggestions, repeating the sort of Israeli media talking points that you hear, and basically saying that it was wrong to have this resolution because it's one-sided. It has some sort of value for Palestinians. And the fact of the matter is that Jim Zogby, all he was doing, all the Sanders campaign was doing, is trying to compensate for the very pro-Israel plank of the platform that already existed. To add in something that gave a little bit of parity and acknowledge that Palestinians are human beings too.
Now, Kevin, do you think just having that conversation at the party platform level, just introducing this as an issue, might be a first step towards pushing Democrats a little bit, you know, just so they feel the pressure on this issue? I mean, is it just better than nothing?
No, absolutely. And I can tell you, there's a reason it came up last in the committee. I mean, we had this debate about whether to put ending the occupation of Palestine in the platform at midnight. Wow. And they waited that long because they did not want to have this earlier in the day when people who are pro-Palestinian or when media could take whatever outcome happened, make it a headline and spread it throughout Friday. I mean, naturally, it is the end of the week. It's sort of news dump day, and most things don't carry over into the next week, except we're talking about this now. So it's critically important, I think, that this conversation happened in the platform committee.
Finally, isn't all of this symbolic, right? What is the importance of the platform of the Democratic Party? I mean, does it simply set the tone, or is it sort of a hard manual by which Democratic Party members or so, you know, the people in line with the Democratic Party are supposed to carry out their issues?
It is all symbolic. Every single bit of it is symbolic. But the symbolism is, I believe, important for people who are activists or, you know, maybe to a lesser extent, just widely progressives, people who believe that the Democrats are somehow on their side. And this very, very much exposes the fact that they are on the wrong side of social progress on a number of significant issues, including saving the planet from becoming a fiery mess. And we all need to really grapple with the role of the Democratic Party and to what extent they get to be dictating what activist groups or community organizations do on behalf of social justice.
Well, Kevin, give out a website where people can read your writings.
Shadowproof.com is where you can go to find latest reports.
And we'll post a link to shadowproof.com from our website later today. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kevin Gostola is managing editor of Shadowproof Press. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast, Unauthorized Disclosure. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.